Hey, everybody, you're listening to Radio Cherry Bomb. I'm your host, Carrie Diamond. It's Thanksgiving week, so we're going to talk with one of my favorite bakers, Cheryl Day, about her plans for the days ahead. Cheryl is one of the most beloved bakers down south. Her shop, Back in the Day Bakery, is a fixture in Savannah thanks to Cheryl's cupcakes, pies, and other treats. Also, Cheryl has a brand new book out, and it is a significant contribution to the world of cookbooks. I don't say that lightly. Titled Cheryl Day's Treasury of Southern Baking, it clocks in at 400 pages and features more than 200 recipes, from Cheryl's famous biscuits to gathering cakes, scones, cobblers, jams, preserves, and sweet and savory butters. Cheryl and I talk about the pies they're making at her bakery this week, her three bread stuffing, and whether she's doing a turkey or not. I'd like to thank today's sponsors, Kerrygold and Modern Sprout. Kerrygold, of course, is the maker of beautiful butter and cheese with dairy from Irish grass-fed cows. Their butter and cheese are the perfect products for all your holiday baking, making, and cooking, and snacking. Thanks to Kerrygold, we'll be bringing you special conversations with some of our favorite bakers, like Cheryl, throughout the holiday season. Our baker friends will share tips, tricks, and inspiration for making beautiful baked goods for all your celebrations. We'll hear a word from Kerrygold in just a minute. And let's talk Modern Sprout. If you have a plant lover on your holiday gift list, you need to know about Modern Sprout, the folks who have made indoor gardening easier for you and your loved ones. They have an amazing offer for this upcoming Black Friday. All Modern Sprout products are 30% off on Black Friday, so don't miss it. And then 25% off on Cyber Monday. So this holiday weekend is the perfect time to purchase one of their grow lights, gift sets, or plant accessories. Shop for your planty friends, your favorite college student, the teachers in your life, or even yourself. If you have someone on your gift list and no idea what to get them, Modern Sprout is especially great because, and you know this is true, everybody loves plants. A few other ideas, check out Modern Sprout's Bright Side Seed Balls. Each box comes with 5 assorted seed balls that channel the spirit of the season. Offered in Grow Peace, Grow Comfort, and Grow Love, they make a great hostess gift or party favor. Modern Sprout also has seasonal bulb kits for paper whites, my favorites. You know paper whites, they are those beautiful, delicate flowers that smell as gorgeous as they look. This Black Friday at modsprout.com, 30% off, and Cyber Monday, 25% off. Please note, everybody, these discounts cannot be combined with any other offers. Some Cherry Bomb housekeeping. If you live in or near Washington, D.C., Cheryl Day and I are doing a special live event with Bold Fork Books on Tuesday, December 7th. It's taking place at D.C.'s Past Tense Studio. Tickets are $40 and come with a signed copy of Cheryl's new book. I would love to see you if you're in town. Visit boldforkbooks.com for tickets and more details. Also, thanks to everyone who joined us for a very Cherry Bomb Friendsgiving. It was so much fun. If you missed anything, you can catch all the demos, talks, and panels on Cherry Bomb's YouTube channel. Now, for a quick word from our friends at Kerrygold, and then we'll check in with Cheryl Day.
Kerrygold is delicious, all-natural butter and cheese, made with milk from Irish grass-fed cows. Our farming families pass their craft and knowledge from generation to generation.
I'm fifth generation. It goes back over 250 years.
This traditional approach is the reason for the rich taste of Kerrygold. Enjoy delicious new sliced or shredded Kerrygold cheddar cheese. Available in mild or savoury flavours at a retailer near you. Find your nearest store at kerrygoldusa.com.
Cheryl Day, welcome to Radio Cherry Bomb.
Hey, thanks for having me, Carrie.
Thank you for being on the show. You're a busy lady right now.
I am busy, but I will always make time for you.
Oh, you have this gorgeous new cookbook that's out right now, Cheryl Day's Treasury of Southern Baking. And the word treasury is like really literal because this is a heavy book.
It is heavy. It is heavy. And I'm so proud of it.
Oh, you should be. How long did you work on it? I feel like you've been working on this forever.
I know. I feel like it seems like forever. I would say probably 5 years. I mean, it seems like my whole life in some ways, but 5 years, I would say.
Yeah, I was going to say that. I think this is also the kind of book that represents a lifetime. You made an interesting family discovery that informed this book in a lot of ways.
My mom passed away when I was 22. So I've had this journal, and it seems that every time I looked at it at different points in my life, something of value would just pop out at me every time I looked at it. And this time I was looking for, obviously doing family research for the book, and I discovered that, or rediscovered, I should say, that my great-great-grandmother, Hannah Queen Grubbs, was born enslaved, which I knew, but what I didn't really remember is specifically, I knew she baked, but then certain things my mom talked about, like she was known for her biscuit. She was the best biscuit baker in her whole county, and she was making small cakes tinted in delightfully colored frosting. And of course, as you know, that's something that I'm known for, both of those things. So it was definitely a aha moment, a moment of clarity and purpose for me when I realized that I am literally doing my life's work.
When did you find this out?
So this was when I started researching the book, and I started delving into that more. And then every page just was so vibrant and important to me at that time. So that was about 5 years ago when I really started looking at every word that my mom wrote. As you can imagine, you know, having lost her, sometimes I would look at it and it would be very joyful, and other times it was just very emotional and difficult to go through. But when I started reading more about Hannah Queen Grubbs, and my mom was such a great storyteller, Carrie, that it just really did become a joyful time.
I can't even imagine the jolt, though, to discover just the bridge back
right
to her with what you're doing today. Did I read correctly that you have some of her handwritten recipes?
I don't have her handwritten recipes. I have my mom's handwritten recipes.
Okay.
And then my grandmother's, but I wish, yeah.
They're both named Hannah, right? I think
they are.
Okay.
They are.
I think that's what I confused.
Yeah, they are both named Hannah. And as you know, there's a lot of queens. We've talked about this before in my family, and somehow they skipped over me, and I'm still a little salty about it, to be honest.
Oh, gosh, that's funny. Okay, so that discovery informed a lot about this book.
It did. You know, I wanted this book to be very definitive, and I wanted it to be not just my personal experience, and it is, but those types of discoveries for me just really made it very personal. And to be honest, I don't think I could write a book and it not be personal to me in some way.
Well, your previous two cookbooks are very personal, but this one is such an interesting blending of you and the history of Southern baking.
Right, exactly, yeah.
The head notes are great. For those of you out there who like reading head notes, there's so much interesting information in your head notes, like red velvet cake. I never knew how red velvet cake had come about.
Right, yeah. I just wanted to have that historical content. And then I also have quotes from different women that have shaped Southern baking throughout the book and in Black culture. And that was just another way to pull this book together for me.
Yeah, it's a wonderful read of a cookbook, and obviously
a wonderful book
to bake through. You also talk about your grandmother. You spent a lot of lovely time with your grandmother. Tell us about her.
I did. I'm from Los Angeles. I grew up in Los Angeles. So I'm a Southern California girl.
Which shocks everybody.
I know. And that has shaped me in many ways, you know, just my personal style and a lot of things. But those summers that I spent with my grandmother shaped me in an entirely different way. She was the queen of Southern hospitality. I learned so many things about, you know, putting up vegetables and fruit and baking. And also the community. That was a big part, and how she would bake for her entire community, and also the way that she set tables for dinner. And I thought that was so cool. I thought when I first started visiting, I thought it was because I was visiting that there was this big display. And I realized after year that was just her way of life, and she'd pull out her tablecloths, and this was just how she it was just her way. She just had a really special way of Southern hospitality and comforting elegance that I just really loved.
Tell us a little bit more about that table. What else was on the table?
So always lots of sweets. But the first thing that always, I talk about this in the book, the first thing that always hit the table was hot bread. And so that was biscuits or rolls. And there would always be jams that she put up. And there was just this big display of everything made with care. And I just really loved that.
So as a Southern California girl, how did you wind up down south?
Well, my mom was from the South, obviously. And so it was really important to her. I think part of it too, I've been thinking about this a lot. She had me when she was 42. And of course, back then that was unheard of. And I think a lot of it was my mom's way of wanting me to be able to pass on this heritage, you know, make sure that our history was not forgotten or erased. And so she started sending me down south every summer from about the age of 8. And it was definitely time that I looked forward to every year. And I would come back with all sorts of treasures in my, you know, suitcase, things that we had put up. But most of all, the family stories. And I just really feel privileged that I am, you know, able to share these stories.
And then what brought you back south full time?
You know, there's a part in the book I talk about that because I thought long and hard about that. I think the fact that my mom was part of the Great Migration, she was a World War II vet. And I think the fact that she worked hard to make sure that this would be a safer place and the fact that she left, I think it really gave me the ability to return because she was a part of so many things, part of civil rights, just so many things that she did to move, you know, life forward for me, that it gave me the ability to be able to return. And I really love being here.
And you're so closely associated with Savannah, especially in my mind.
Yes.
You are Savannah and your beautiful bake shop back in the day.
Aw, thank you.
Tell everybody a little bit about back in the day. What kind of bakery is it?
Oh gosh, so Griff and I decided to open up Back in the Day Bakery. As you know, in an underserved neighborhood in Savannah, we chose that 20 years ago because I wanted to, as a Black woman, create a business that would encourage self-pride and community. And I wanted it to be a place that was a gathering place and a place that would just really be a part of the community, but also to make people proud of where they lived. And that's exactly what we've done.
And what are some of the most popular items at the bakery?
So the old-fashioned cupcakes are still probably the number one, those delightfully tinted little small cakes that my grandmother was also known for, apparently. Our biscuits are still quite popular. Pies, just really nostalgic treats that we make, our cinnamon buns, honey buns, that we give our kind of Southern spin to everything we do, and also kind of a modern twist, I would say.
I never knew what a cathead biscuit was until I had one back in the day.
Yeah, those cathead biscuits are as big as a cat's head. And they are in this cookbook, as over 200 and some recipes are. I think there's 4 or so biscuits in the book, multiple cornbreads. I just wanted to say, okay, well, if I want to know about Southern baking, then I want to have this book.
Let's talk about some of those recipes. Okay. Which one would you say is the best gateway recipe to everything else in there?
Ooh, oh gosh. I would say the gateway is probably those cathead biscuits, actually. They're very simple to make. They were quite popular during the pandemic. I was doing a lot of baking at home, as we all were. And the cathead biscuits are easy to make. They're very versatile. You can add whatever you have on hand in the fridge, cheese or bacon or scallions, or, you know, there's all, you can make them sweet, you can make them savory. So I would say those Cathead biscuits are the gateway.
What would you say is the most sentimental to you?
I would say the most sentimental is the lemon meringue pie, for sure. Lemon meringue pie is the pie that I almost didn't put in the cookbook because it was something that my mom made that she was known for. I didn't think that I could get it as good as hers. I did. And when it happened, it brought tears to my eyes. And it's definitely the most sentimental. It's a recipe that my mom was known for, and her grandchildren, my nephews, still talk about that pie. And so, yeah, definitely lemon meringue pie.
My mom and I have sat in a car behind your bake shop and devoured a piece of that lemon meringue pie. It is so good, and the meringue is so high.
Yay!
And it just, oh my gosh, I still remember that moment. It was a heavenly moment.
I love that. Tell your mom hi.
I will. For folks who haven't made lemon meringue pie before, how do you make it?
So this lemon meringue pie, it's very nostalgic. It's a little bit different than, it's a cooked filling. And the meringue is whipped, and also it's not like an Italian meringue that gets torched. It's a meringue that's old-fashioned and gets topped on the pie, and then it goes back into the oven and gets that soft, toasty top.
What recipe is the most Cheryl Day of all the recipes?
Ooh, I would say the most recipe that is the most Cheryl Day is the chocolate church cake. The chocolate church cake, there's a great photo of it in the book too, and it has edible flowers. That's exactly how my grandmother would have done it, picked straight from her garden. I would say it's the most Cheryl Day because I think everyone should learn how to make a chocolate cake. I think we could solve a lot of problems if everyone knew how to make a chocolate cake. It is moist. It's delicious. It's just the perfect chocolate cake. It's actually doesn't have butter in the batter. It's like an old-fashioned Southern cake. It has oil, so super moist. And then use the best chocolate that you can afford. And that makes it really delicious. It's got a buttercream frosting that's Yum. Chocolatey and is so good.
Did you like an American buttercream for the top?
It's not your traditional American buttercream. The frosting for the cake, for the chocolate church cake, is very unusual. It's a really old-timey recipe. It's, you make like a roux out of flour and milk, and it gets added into the sugar, and it whips for a long time with the butter. And then it's the texture of a Swiss meringue. But people are always stopped in their tracks when they see that flour roux, because obviously that part of it doesn't taste very good. But what it is, it's so old-fashioned. This was something that would have been very thrifty to make because it doesn't have confectioner sugar. It's granulated sugar. And this would have been at a time when confectioner sugar wasn't as widely available. And very resourceful, because Southern bakers are very resourceful. So yeah, it's a really unusual recipe.
All right, let's talk about Thanksgiving, because Thanksgiving is right around the corner. And I know there are a few things that you can pre-order from back in the day. Are you sold out yet on those pies?
We are sold out, yes. We're sold out. That's okay.
If you're in Savannah, you're out of luck.
Yeah, but we will have a few extra pies. Ah. So first come, first serve. Come and get them.
Good to know. What are the three pies on offer this year?
So the three pies are our famous all-American apple rose pie. There's a great story about that recipe in the cookbook. It's a double crusted pie, and it uses rose, which is one of the original flavorings in American baking. And that pie is delicious. The apples are Georgia apples, three different kinds. They get macerated overnight in sugar. Sugar and all sorts of spices, cardamom, the rose water, and nutmeg, or whatever spices you like, cinnamon, of course. And so they macerate overnight. And then what that does is creates a juice, which I then pour off. I put it in a saucepan, cook it with a little butter, and I make a caramel sauce that gets tossed back into the mixture and added into the pie. And it's so this really kind of salty caramel, rose, very floral, very delicious pie. So anyway, apple rose, there's a bourbon pecan pie that is so good, that bourbon, lots of bourbon in that pie. Also very caramelly. And then we have a pumpkin pie, which my personal favorite is sweet potato, I have to say. But we did a this or that, which of course everybody's doing now. And pumpkin won this year.
So you let people vote? What'd you do that on Instagram?
We did it on Instagram. And yeah, it's really surprising, I think, that pumpkin won this year. But I have to say, the way that I spice my pumpkin, it is very similar to a sweet potato pie. So
it doesn't surprise me too much. I feel like it's the one time of year we eat pumpkin pie.
That's true. Yeah. That's true.
Do you use straight up pumpkin? Because I know some people swap in like some butternut squash, things like that.
Yeah, no, we're swapping in butternut squash. And I tell you what, this year it has been really interesting finding ingredients. I've had long texts with baker friends all over the country, weird ingredients that have been difficult to find, like graham cracker crumbs. Impossible. Yeah, really crazy. Fortunately, I didn't need any, but
you've got that port of Savannah down there where all those tankers are backed up.
I know, but
maybe some of the graham crackers are on those boats.
Maybe. As long as my books came, I was so happy that my books made it in.
So many authors we know had their dates change. And
yeah.
I'm glad yours wasn't affected. Okay, so you've got the pumpkin, the pecan pie. I do love pecan pie. Even though I like to eat pumpkin on Thanksgiving, pecan pie is my fave.
Honestly, I like a slice of all three.
Same. I'm with you.
With some ice cream in the mix.
A little a la mode action. So what are you and Griff up to for Thanksgiving?
So we're going to have a small dinner. It's just going to be the two of us. I'm doing something a little different this year. I always have to have cornbread stuffing on the table. That's like, if I only had one thing, I would have that. But this year, what we're doing is a roasted chicken. I got a big roasted chicken of some kind. And I'm going to pretend that that's our turkey this year. So I've done, in the past, I've lucked out and found small turkeys in the past. I've found, and sometimes we do a turkey breast. But this year, I'm going for the chicken. Well, it's just going to be the two of us. We're going to have that. We'll have some great roasted vegetables.
Yeah, what are the sides? Dying to know what kind of sides you have.
It's all about the sides. Mm-hmm. It is all about the sides. So we'll have roasted vegetables. Griff does like a balsamic reduction for sides. Everything from, oh gosh, any kind of vegetables that we can find, even like roasted garlic and all sorts of green vegetables that we'll find and throw in there. And then we do scalloped potatoes. I am stuck on this garlic scalloped potato recipe that's in an old Martha Stewart, that blue book. I love scalloped potatoes. There's nothing in there but salt, butter, heavy cream, potatoes, and garlic. And it's so easy and it just cooks really slow. Love that. That's probably going to round out. And then we'll bring home two pies.
As you should. Go back to your cornbread stuffing. What's in the stuffing?
Oh, yeah. So the stuffing is, we put biscuit croutons. We'll have some of Griff's rosemary ciabatta cut into cubes. And then I make a cornbread, the skillet cornbread that's in the book. And those get all tossed together with stock, giblets, all kinds of things. And the one thing that I learned from my research the past several years, because what I'll say is that I would have, Carrie, when people found out I was writing this book, I'd reached out in my community and stacks and stacks of these church cookbooks, community cookbooks, just literally showed up on my doorstep. And one thing that I couldn't figure out that was missing from my mom's recipe seemed to be in a lot of these church cookbooks in their cornbread stuffing. And it's boiled eggs that are chopped and folded in. And they kind of really aren't very present, but they are present in flavor. And so, yeah, that gets...
Oh, the secret ingredient. Okay.
Secret ingredient.
So wait, this is a three bread stuffing.
Yeah.
So it's biscuit croutons.
Right.
The ciabatta that Griff makes, and then the cornbread. Mm-hmm. Wow, this is a special stuffing, Cheryl.
It's really delicious. And then, of course, it's got onions and celery and all the good stuff.
I asked my mom for my grandmother's stuffing recipe last week because I wanted to make a sandwich. We did this really fun Thanksgiving leftover sandwich competition.
Ooh.
I love a sandwich with stuffing and turkey and cranberry sauce.
Same.
That to me is as much fun as Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah, totally. Did you have a different memory, Carrie, of it?
You know, it's what you grow up on. You sometimes just love what you grow up on.
So true. Like cranberry sauce, right?
Oh, don't even get me started.
There's always a big debate.
On the cranberry sauce.
Yeah.
I make cranberry sauce from scratch. It is so easy and so delicious. And when I first started making it from scratch, there was so much sugar in it. So I think I swapped in orange juice and it still came out beautifully.
Yes, I love it with orange juice.
And I just love it because it kind of, you know, cuts the richness of everything else you're eating on Thanksgiving. My family, they will not touch it. They love their cranberry sauce in a can.
With the rings.
They don't even mash it. They just put it out can shaped.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, that's what I grew up with too, but I don't like it now.
You have a jam line now.
I do.
Which is amazing. Thank you for sending me those jams.
Of course. So yeah, Janie Q Provisions, another queen, Janie Queen, was my mom. And we started a provisions. This was our big pivot during the pandemic. You know, we closed our dining room, as you know. So that was our big pivot, the provisions line. And so we have three jams right now. We're actually adding some marmalades and pepper jelly, hopefully in time for Christmas. And we're also doing a biscuit mix and some other fun things.
Tell us about the three flavors that you have right now because they're so beautiful.
Yes. So we have strawberry chamomile. We have blueberry rose, and we have peach lavender.
And how's the jam biz? Tougher than the bakery biz?
No, the jam biz is great, but we're still making everything ourselves in-house. So people wonder why the bakery is closed during the week. Well, that's why, because that's my side hustle. And yeah, it's great. We actually have opened up a few wholesale accounts. It's available at Poppy's in Brooklyn.
I've seen it there.
Yeah. Oh, you have?
I should give a shout out to Poppy's. That's right in my neighborhood. I had a cake there the other day that was so good.
I cannot wait to go there.
Next time you're in New York, tell me, because our neighborhood has turned into this like baking mecca. So we've got Poppy's, and they have the most beautiful baked goods. An Ovenly opened, a Mama opened.
Oh, wow.
There's a secret little bakery around the corner from my apartment. I think it's called ACQ. I ordered some bread from
them.
Yes. It's one guy who's running it, and you have to order the bread online, and you have to go pick it up. And then you'll get a kick out of this. There's that lovely young couple that does L'Appartement 4F. They did this crazy thing. It's a croissant breakfast cereal. He's the baker. They make proper croissants. And just for kicks, they decided to make this like mini croissant breakfast cereal. So they take the actual, you know, laminated dough and roll it up into tiny croissants, bake them.
Oh my God.
Put, I think it's like a cinnamon sugar syrup over them, dehydrate them. And they made it into the world's most expensive breakfast cereal.
Wow. Oh, I gotta try that.
So when you come here, we'll just do a little crawl. Hopefully it'll be a nice day and we can try everybody's baked goods. When's the biscuit mix coming?
Biscuit mix is coming probably next week, actually.
Oh, or in time for holiday. Great.
Yeah. Well, probably in real life after Thanksgiving.
Okay. So I have to go back to the book for a second. I mean, this was such an incredible undertaking. I mean, not only is it just filled, how many recipes are in this? It's got to be over 100.
Oh, well over 200.
Wow.
Yeah. We just kept going and going.
There are so many recipes in this. And it's so personal. How did it change you when you finished this book?
Oh, wow. You know, it definitely, and just the fact that it's now out in the world, and there's that first part in the book, of course, where apparently I'm the only person that's ever said a statement like that, where this book would not have been possible without the millions of enslaved Americans. And that has just really resonated with a lot of people. And the whole book, I've just been so happy with the way that it's been received. I guess I feel seen, Carrie, for sure. Probably I haven't felt seen like this in 20 years. I mean, I definitely feel privileged to be the person that is sharing this history, bringing these women to light and paying homage to all of these women, Black women that created Southern baking, and telling my personal story. So it definitely makes me feel like I did something important.
Well, you definitely did. This is a gift you've given to the world, Cheryl.
Oh, thank you.
It's clear how much love and work went into this book.
Thank you.
All right, let's do a little speed round because you are a baker and this is a busy time for bakers.
Yeah.
I'm so grateful you had time to come on the show.
Oh, I would miss you. Are you kidding?
Thank you. What is a treasured cookbook of yours? You're sitting in front of many cookbooks, so this is going to be a tough one.
Oh, that is a tough one. I would say my most treasured cookbook are Edna Lewis's cookbooks that I personally own, just really all of them. They're just so special to me. And then I would say some of the church cookbooks that I have collections of that are written by just women that love to bake. Those are really special to me as well.
What is your most used kitchen tool?
My most used kitchen tool is my bench scraper.
What was the last pantry purchase you made?
I'm always buying spices.
Me
too. I love spices. I love burlap and barrel spices. I'm a big fan.
Diaspora. And, don't they have beautiful spices?
Oh, I love those. The mace that they have, they're just beautiful. And the little jars are so great. So yeah, I'm always buying spices. I just bought 3 spices today. One thing that might surprise people, another thing that I am obsessed with is hot sauce. And there's a brand, I have to give them a shout out because I have never gone through a whole bottle of hot sauce. And it's this line, Zab's Hot Sauce. And they just have an original and then a St. Augustine flavor. And I just keep replenishing it. It's crazy.
How do you spell it?
It's Zab, Z-A-B apostrophe S,
okay.
I guess. Yeah.
I have to ask, and I hope I'm not going to be shamed by my Southern pals for this, but what is St. Augustine's flavor?
Oh, that's really interesting. So yeah, there's St. Augustine flavor. Gosh, they got really lucky with this pepper. It's a dattle pepper that's only grown in St. Augustine. And I've become friendly with the owners because I buy a lot of hot sauce, apparently. And Miles told me that he discovered just traveling this dattle pepper, and he's tried to grow it where they make the Zab's, which is in Los Angeles, and they can't grow it there. So there's this whole process where they have to get the peppers, and it has a really like sweet heat flavor. And that's my personal favorite. Griff loves their original, which is a little hotter, but it's just really good. And then I love Shaquanda hot sauce. I'm obsessed with that. So anyway.
Yes. Yeah. You're like me. Are you streaming anything right now? What are you and Griff watching?
Oh yeah. My secret guilty pleasure. I'm not going to call it smut TV, but right now I'm streaming Insecure, Issa Rae.
Yep.
I'm streaming that. And then I also love decorating shows. There's a show, oh gosh, I can't think of the name of it, but it's all about kitchens. The woman and man that have Duvall the kitchen line. They're British.
Oh, yeah.
And I love decorating shows. I also am obsessed with Leanne Ford. I love her show.
Footwear in the kitchen. What do you wear?
Footwear in the kitchen. Oh, my gosh. That is, I wish I could find the perfect shoe. I do wear Spin clogs in the kitchen, the ones that are on the cookbook. I also wear Hush Puppies. Shout out to Hush Puppies. I love myself a Velcro moment when I have to get there early in the moment and they're like Velcro on the top, just like little kiddos. And yeah.
Music in the kitchen.
Yes.
What do you listen to?
Sometimes podcasts and sometimes, but usually music. I'm listening to something loud, usually, and something I can dance to. Some mornings, though, I listen to Chris Stapleton. I love his voice so much. It just really depends on my mood. But yeah, I'm usually listening to like Beyonce or Jay-Z or something really loud. And yeah.
Next question, dream travel destination.
Ooh, dream travel destination. You know, I have never been overseas, Carrie.
We got to change that.
I got to change that. So of course I would love to go to France and to London, to Italy. There's so many places. But honestly, I love California too. I mean, I could just go all over California. Of course, I'm from there, but there's so many great places to visit in California.
Okay, last question. If you had to be trapped on a desert island with one food celebrity, who would it be and why?
A food celebrity? Oh my gosh. Griffith Day?
I knew you were going to say that. You can't say Griff.
I can't say Griff. One food celebrity. I can't think of anybody. I mean, I would say like Barack Obama or... but that's not a food celebrity. I don't know. I might be the first person. What do people usually say? That's crazy. I can't think of anybody.
It's a toss-up. It's a toss-up between Ina Garten and Anthony Bourdain.
Okay. Yeah, no.
All right. Last question. What are you thankful for this year?
I'm thankful for this new cookbook. I am thankful for my health and my health of my family. I would say that's what I'm most thankful for.
I love the photo of you on the cover.
Oh, thank you.
Is that our friend Angie who took that photo?
Yeah,
Mosher?
Angie Mosher took that photo and she did all the beautiful photographs and my good friend Haley did all the styling. She styled for all of our books. I think this one is the most special for sure.
Absolutely. Well, Cheryl Day's treasury of Southern baking is a treasure. I'm sure I'm not the first one to have said that.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
Happy Thanksgiving, Cheryl.
Happy Thanksgiving. Thanks for having me, Carrie.
That's it for today's show. Thank you so much to Cheryl Day of Back in the Day Bakery. Check out her new book, Cheryl Day's Treasury of Southern Baking. Also, check out backintheday.com. for Cheryl's other products, including her beautiful jams. Or go say hello if you're in Savannah. If you're in DC, join me and Cheryl on December 7th for a special live conversation to celebrate her book. Visit boldforkbooks.com for tickets. Thank you to Kerrygold and Modern Sprout for supporting our show. Radio Cherry Bomb is a production of Cherry Bomb Magazine. This interview was recorded at Newsstand Studios at Rockefeller Center in New York City. They were putting the famous Rock Center tree up the other day when I recorded this interview. That was fun to see. Thank you to Joseph Hazen, studio engineer for Newsstand Studios, and to our assistant producer, Jenna Sadu. If you enjoyed this chat, catch my conversation with other brilliant bakers like baking icon Dori Greenspan and cookie queen Sarah Kiefer wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening, everybody. Happy Thanksgiving week. You're the bomb.